Well, maybe we should all just go home and say amen. I'll lead. Oh, the beauty of the day and the gifts that we all get to bring into this place today. What a joy and a delight. We're going to talk a bit more about the Mary story. And when I reflect and read the Mary story, I always think about how young these kids were, Mary and Joseph. And so I always like to invite a few teenagers to stand up. So if you're between the ages of 13 and 18, will you please stand so that we can have a look at you? If you're between 13 and 18, if we could look at you and just marvel at thy youth. Look at you. Look at you. And to think that God, at this moment in time in the Mary story, was entrusting the promises to teenagers. Isn't that amazing? And we often think of our teenagers as teenagers, and do we value them enough? But look, here they are in their glory amongst us, and in the story of God, such crucial players in the story of God. So we delight in you. Thank you. Please be seated. Mary's a teenager, and in first century culture, it was more common that a teenager might be betrothed to someone. And so there is some contextual things going on here. I was reading this week, Frederick Buechner helps us imagine this conversation between Gabriel and this teenaged Mary. She struck the angel Gabriel as hardly old enough to have a child at all, let alone this child, but he'd been entrusted with a message to give her, and he gave it. Gabriel told her what the child was to be named and who he was to be, and something about the mystery that was to come upon her. "You mustn't be afraid, Mary," said Gabriel. And as he said it, he only hoped she wouldn't notice that beneath the great golden wings, he himself was trembling with fear. To think that the whole future of creation now hung on the answer of this girl. There's also a picture in your bulletin today, the Annunciation, that also helps feed our imagination this morning as we think about Gabriel and this interaction with Mary. We've heard Mary's response. She says, "I am perplexed. What kind of greeting is this?" And Gabriel echoes the phrase that we've been hearing time after time this fall in the Old Testament, the voice of God saying, "Do not be afraid." Mary's, of course, old enough to know how this should work biologically, and she says, "How can this be? I am a virgin." And Gabriel assures her that the impossible will be made possible. And we don't know that time lapse between verse 37 and verse 38, where Gabriel says, "The possible will be made possible," and Mary responds, "Here am I." And so I imagine that they bantered, maybe for hours, in that darkened room. Gabriel's already told her this miracle that Elizabeth is experiencing, her cousin who has already conceived a son. But maybe they go back in time and talk about other stories. Abraham and Sarah. Remember Abraham muttering to himself, "My wife's 90, I'm 100. Lord, really?" And God said to Abraham, "I will keep my promises." Or how about Moses, that newborn baby who was put in the river Nile? He's as good as dead. with this death decree going on from a maniacal king. But Moses was saved by Pharaoh's daughter, floating in a basket, stuck in the reeds. God keeps his promises. And lest we forget, Hannah, deeply distressed, weeping bitterly as long as she longed for a child. But we read and remember that the Lord remembered her, and she bore a son, Samuel, who would rise up as a prophet, thus proving again that God keeps his promises. Perhaps this storytelling and faith bantering goes on for hours. Gabriel finally pausing in the silence. "So? You mustn't be afraid, Mary." And Mary's response is a prayer and a proclamation. "Here am I." She echoes the words of Father Abraham and other Old Testament Hall of Famers, Jacob, Joseph, Isaiah, Samuel. "Here I am, the servant of the Lord." And then she adds, "Let it be with me according to your word." And the angel of the Lord departed from her. And in the margin notes, I would imagine the writer saying, "Phew, that was a close one." So on this Christmas Eve morn, almost noon, how is the Spirit of God disrupting or interrupting our lives with a story like this? How might this story intersect with us in the midst of our Christmas Eve to-do lists that linger in our minds even now? But I'll invite you just for a few minutes to pause, to ponder alongside Mary. Because the great news of today's story is again the angel saying, "You mustn't be afraid." And so maybe you could insert your name there. "You mustn't be afraid, James. You mustn't be afraid, Melanie. You mustn't be afraid, Alan." And perhaps you might say, "Well, I'm not really afraid right now." But we all know that it's just a text or a phone call or an email or a doctor's visit or a blood test. And we don't have to go too far or search too far in the headlines or in the horizon of our lives to know that we live in a world full of anxiety and fear, with varying degrees of discord and corruption and distraction. And so we need to hear Gabriel's assurance today. "You mustn't be afraid." And how might we respond to the angel's words today? I'd encourage us to take Mary's proclamation and prayer as our own. "Here am I, servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Or maybe as a congregation, we take that corporately and we say, "Lord Jesus, here we are, servants of the Lord. Let it be with us according to your word." And the intriguing and instructive tone of this prayer is that it's a prayer where we're not in charge. One commentator put it this way: the action of Mary saying, "Let it be with me," is not anything that Mary will do on her own. It is what God will do in Mary as she embraces the action of God. So it's what God will do in us as we take that posture of the available one, saying, "Here I am, Lord. Here we are, Lord." It's not us in charge, but it is us praying and proclaiming that, yes, we are here. We are available to God with us. And so, as Christ is reborn in us on Christmas Day, or in the season of Christmas. You know, for those of us who walk in the Christian calendar, it's not just one day of Christmas, but it's 12 days for Christ to be reborn in us. And so I do want us to maybe ponder just for 30 or 40 seconds and maybe use these questions to help frame it for you today. God, what will you do in me in these next 12 days? What will you do in me? What are you doing around me, around us right now? What are you inviting me to do? What are you inviting us to do? And maybe some of those answers will play out like so. I'll give a few starting points. Maybe God's inviting us to stand up for the vulnerable. We've already prayed that, even in our confession prayer today. Maybe God's inviting us to fight for the rights of the downtrodden. Maybe God's inviting me and us to radically welcome the other, whoever that other might be in your life or in our community. Maybe God's inviting us to call out the haters and shout down the discriminators. Maybe God's calling us to care for creation, for creatures. And we might protest alongside Mary. We might be perplexed. We might say, God, you're asking for the impossible. But let's take this prayer of Mary's with us in these 12 days of Christmas. Let's pray alongside Mary. Let's listen with Mary. God, help us. God, hear our prayers. God, move in us. Animate our lives. Fill our lives with your Spirit. And bring forth miracles. Birth miracles through us. So I do want to give you just a half a minute or 40 seconds. And let's begin the prayer with, Here we are.